What's up? This is Boovies on Up, and it's October, our favorite month of the year. So sit back, join us month-long as we talk about a lot of horror movies.
What's up? This is Boovies on Up, and welcome to our first annual... I don't know if it'll be annual.
Oh, I don't think it could be annual. How much is it going to change?
Yeah, right. If there's going to be 50 good horror movies that come out between now and October. Nonetheless, we'll say welcome to our complete list of our favorite 50 horror movies of all time. I'm seated across from my favorite movie monster, Mr. Dave Becella.
And you are in my top 50 favorite podcast co-hosts.
Excellent. Number 50, I assume. 50 with a bullet.
You made the 50. I'll just leave it at that.
He's Dave. I'm Ryan. We are, for at least the next couple weeks, Boovies on Up. Today, we're going to get it started with our 50 favorite horror movies of all time. We're going to run you from 50 to 41.
It's October. Traditionally, we've done two episodes a week. Yeah. We're going to keep that formula. They're just not mixing it up. We're just going to talk about a ton of horror movies as we go from 50 to 1, and we'll probably get sidetracked by a couple little side lists along the way.
Speaking of formulas, we're not going to do this every time, but at least maybe at the onset, explain how we got to these 50 movies.
We'll probably go deeper in when we get near the top, because that's where the formula came more into play. Is Ryan and I each, I listed my top 40 and I had about 10 also-rans. Ryan listed his top probably 80. So I just...
No also-rans, just
yeah.
80.
We just went through and I tried to calculate, like, if it was in both of our top 10s, it was definitely top 10. Top 10 doesn't go any further than top 20, and just tried to represent both of our lists that way. There was a pseudo formula that I just kind of kept morphing as we went, and when all was said and done, we got 50 that I think we can both pretty much agree on.
For the most part. We will start with a movie that didn't make my top 80, but it did make Dave's list a little higher than where it ended up being on our co-list, but it is Clive Barker's Hellraiser from 1987, starring Andrew Robinson, Claire Higgins, and Ashley Lawrence. Hellraiser, I'll give him this, nothing if not prolific. Since its release in 1987, Pinhead and crew have spawned 9 sequels and some of the most rad-looking creatures you're ever going to see in a horror movie.
You know what? I wanted Clive Barker represented. I was going to go Nightbreed. I told my buddy Zane, who listens to the show, he said I had to have Hellraiser. When I tossed up between the two, Hellraiser did make a bigger impact on the pop culture with Pinhead and everything else. We get Hellraiser in there, so there you go, Zane. You can stop listening.
One movie in, one and done for Zane. Number 49 is our first movie, and we're only two in, but our first movie from Sam Raimi. Spoiler alert, there will be more. It is from 2009, Drag Me to Hell, directed by the aforementioned Sam Raimi, starring Alison Lohman, Justin Long, Lorna Raver. Raimi made his long-awaited return to horror after the Spider-Man trilogy and 100% showed that he hadn't forgotten how to make a super creepy horror movie. Look no further than the exorcism scene in this movie. Classic Sam Raimi.
It was funny, had its gore, it was insane. It's everything I want from a Sam Raimi movie with studio money behind it. Just bummed we haven't really seen anything else like this from him. This one was a late bloomer to the list because I did leave it off because I tried to sneak Deep Star 6 in there.
Not happening.
But Ryan vetoed it.
I deep sixed that.
This was probably my favorite one that made both of our lists that didn't originally make the top 50, but now it is.
Speaking of gory and funny from a cool filmmaker, that is an apt description for our 48th favorite horror movie of all time. It is from 2012. It is Drew Goddard's Cabin in the Woods, starring Kristen Connolly, Chris Hemsworth, and Anna Hutchinson. Goddard could have landed on this list a couple more times as a writer with Cloverfield or World War Z, but makes the list for one of his frequent collaborations with Joss Whedon. Now you'll find him writing and producing much of the Marvel stuff for Netflix. This was one I knew very little about going into, other than it was a Cabin in the Woods movie. And to put it in that...
And that's the whole point of it.
Right, exactly. To put it in that genre, it fits, but it's a lot more than that. But again, really cool creature designs.
Hard movie to market, because the less you know about it, the better. The less you know about it, the more it seems like every other movie. It's anything but every other horror movie. I loved it. At the beginning, I thought this would be higher, because I know we both love this. this is at 48, so like that just shows how strong the rest of it is, because we both adore this movie.
This is tough, because you look at 50 and you think that, boy, that almost didn't make the list. But I had such a hard time even doing this list that any one of these movies, I would love to sit down and watch at any time, with the exception of Hellraiser. Not a giant fan of it, but yeah, I think that just shows you, like, if Cabin in the Woods is this far down, and a movie that's just above it from last year, we talked nothing but good things about 2006's Don't Breathe, directed by Fede Alvarez, starring Jane Levy, Stephen Lang, and Dylan Minnette. Alvarez, when I think about it, I think is one of the most exciting directors that we have on this list, current directors. And he seems to work really, really well with Jane Levy. Don't Breathe takes the home invasion genre that's been around for years and years and kind of flips it on its head and makes a really slick movie.
Yeah, I love this. I love his style. He's visually very, very cool. And like my favorite directors are Matthew Vaughn and Edgar Wright. And I put his visual style very close to theirs. Some of the stuff in the dark, it's hard to make a movie with scenes that take place in pitch black. And he made them work. He's doing the Girl with the Dragon Tattoo remake, which I kind of was hoping Jane Levy is Lisbeth. But I'll see anything he does because he's made such a strong impression so far.
Absolutely. Number 46, this one is another one that surprises me that it's this low, but that's just how good this list is. And I was scanning it just to make sure. There were some directors I wanted to make sure they got on the list. Alexander Aja was one of those guys. I was like, he's got to be on the list somewhere. He's on the list at 46 with 2003's High Tension, starring Cécile de France and Philippe Nahon. You're not going to find on this list many more that are more violent than High Tension. It was a cool premise that I think really helped launch the French horror movies in the States, and it helped launch Aja over here as well.
Yeah, it kicked off that boom of French horror movies we got there for a little bit. And I'll be honest here, this one should be higher. I believe it was higher on both of our lists, but by the time I got here, I was filling it out, then I realized, like, oh crap, I skipped High Tension, and I didn't want to go reorder everything else. So, sorry, Aja.
Our first list controversy. It didn't take long, I guess. And it brings us to number 45, another, I guess you'd put him in the pantheon of great horror directors.
Steven Spielberg.
Yes, Steven Spielberg and Tobe Hooper, both of which will appear higher on the list. Spielberg was uncredited as a director for 1982's Poltergeist, starring Craig T. Nelson, Joe Beth Williams, and Heather O'Rourke. 82 was a pretty good year for old SS. He had Poltergeist and E.T. both came out in the same summer. From what I understand, Spielberg offered both scripts to Tobe Hooper. Thankfully, he chose Poltergeist instead of E.T., so that's why Spielberg's involvement is just uncredited in this. But the visuals in this movie are worthy of having these two great directors working so much on it.
When you think of haunted house movies,
yeah.
I don't think you think of this instantly because it's a different feel than other haunted house movies. Like, it's not The Haunting or House on Haunted Hill or even Amityville Horror. It's more just about a haunting and not like a fright fest, but it
but
nails
But still,
it.
I mean, I...
Oh, the TV stuff? Oh,
yeah.
It's still terrifying.
The braces?
Yeah.
I mean, this is the first movie that when I think of haunted house, even before I get to Beetlejuice, I actually think of Poltergeist. But that's at number 45. Number 44 will show you again just how cultured we are. And it is 1998's Ringu, directed by Hideo Nakata, starring Nanako Matsushima, Miki Nakatani, and Yuko Takeuchi. This is a folktale updated to fit modern technology. You got basically a supernatural chain letter, but with heavy emphasis on the supernatural.
We had that boom of Japanese
J-horror,
remakes that kicked off. And, you know, Ringu was so good that The Ring, a less quality movie, was still decent. Like, it was still good. And that kind of kicked off 5 or 6 years of just mainstream studio horror was Japanese remakes.
This one, I think, in most of the lists that I ran across, Ringu was actually higher than the movie that we put above it. And I'm not sure if I had kind of taken the Western remakes into consideration too, because I like the remake of the other movie more than I like The Ring. That might have had something to do with it, but I think they're both good. They're both really good. And if you end up on this list anywhere, I think you're pretty solid.
Yeah, it's one of those where I'm not bad-mouthing the American remake. I think it was good.
Yes.
Wasn't as good.
Sure.
But when you have something that strong, you can make something that doesn't really match up to it and still be really good.
A knockoff of something that's really, really great is still pretty good. Number 43, speaking of prolific with a lot of sequels, it is 2004 Saw, directed by James Wan, starring Cary Elwes, Lee Whannell, and Danny Glover. It's weird. We live in a post-Saw world now, so you kind of consider the franchise. But if you can think back to 2004 and take that experience and separate it out, that movie was a mindfuck. It was torture porn with a plot.
With a mainstream studio yes. release.
In the end, the franchise couldn't necessarily handle the weight of all its sequels, but the first one was a really, really well-made horror movie from a guy who now, of course, if James Wan makes it, you're not surprised if it's a good. But this was before we knew who James Wan was.
It's interesting you worded that. We are in a pre-Saw world, even though we have Jigsaw coming out this month. We are in a post-Saw world, but we're very much in a James Wan world.
Yes.
With the Wanaverse, where you have Insidious and
Annabelle,
Conjuring.
I think
that's the one, yeah. Say what you will about Saw. It maybe doesn't hold up as much as some of these other older horror movies.
I think the first one does.
Cary Elwes, when you look back at it, is pretty weak in it. But it's good, and you can understand why. I mean, I haven't seen any of the sequels, but you can understand why it launched a franchise, and it did kind of kick off. You had, what was it, Turistas and Hostel.
Yeah.
And you had this, let's try to squeeze horror porn into the mainstream, and it had a little bit of a run. Saw was really the only one to keep going beyond that. It's not one of my favorite movies ever, but if I'm talking about 50 most important, favorite, impactful horror movies, it's really hard to leave this one off.
I mean, it was a big deal in 2004.
Oh, it absolutely was, yeah. This is in the middle of the Japanese remakes.
Right.
So this was, I mean, it was made by Australians, but this was like an American ized movie, pretty much. So,
speaking of big deal, generally Oscar nominations are regarded as big deals, and you may not have a ton of them on this list, but you got two of them in our number 42. It is Brian De Palma's Carrie from 1976, starring Sissy Spacek and Piper Laurie. Both were nominated for Academy Awards for this movie, and I think it's one of the very few times in horror history where you kind of completely are in the corner of the monster in the movie. Usually you've got your final girl that you're just hoping doesn't get eaten or cut to pieces. This one,
the
everyone's
final girl
rooting
is
for
the killing girl.
Right, yeah. You're rooting for Carrie in this one, which I think gives a bit of a different take on a horror movie.
Yeah, full disclosure, I thought this was the Chloe Moretz one. I
figured you did.
It's a classic. Kids that haven't seen this movie know the imagery of this movie. You have iconic characters like Jason and Freddy, and, you know, even Pinhead too. And,
yeah.
Like, even if you've never seen a Hellraiser movie, you probably recognize Pinhead. Never see Carrie, you know the pig's blood at the prom. And I mean, it's a great Stephen King adaptation. He's good at making you root for the monsters when he wants to.
In a year where we got a pretty solid Stephen King adaptation.
Dark Tower was fantastic.
that, of course.
It also came out.
Yeah.
You got Gerald's Game just came out last month or last week. Really, by the time you're listening to this, that's all a joke. It is the one that's really good. And if this list were made maybe 6 months later,
yes,
I would have a hard time thinking that it doesn't make this list.
Bear that in mind for those of you that are fresh off seeing that movie in the theaters. We actually prepared for this ahead of time, and it was written in stone, so God knows there's nothing we could do to change it. Which will bring us to our last, for this podcast at least, and we had talked about Saw being made by Australians. Maybe not the country you would think would be good for horror, but another director who's not famous for horror, and a country that's not famous for horror, New Zealand, turned out a pretty fair director in Peter Jackson. He turned out a pretty good movie in 1996's The Frighteners, starring Michael J. Fox, Trini Alvarado, and Jeffrey Combs. Before he was The Lord of the Rings, Jackson was, I think, a great horror director. And The Frighteners is by far his most for mass consumption horror movie. The ghosts are great, and Michael J. Fox is wonderful in a not very foxy role.
It's not Teen Wolf. It's not Marty McFly.
Doc
like
Hollywood.
He's a jerk. And I mean, Michael J. Fox is one of the most likable dudes ever. I mean, even though Ox P. Keaton was kind of a turd, but he's such a likable guy. And this is like three movies in one. Like, it starts as like a kind of horror comedy with this ghost detective, then it turns into like a detective movie, and then it ends with like a straight horror movie almost. And it blends so well. I feel like he could make the list a couple of times.
Yeah.
He doesn't, but he does make our first But we're going to do some bonus lists as we go throughout this. We went 50 to 41. That's what we're going to do this episode. But our bonus list, just to kind of preview the rest of the 40 that'll be coming up, this is our favorite movies that made both of our lists that maybe didn't make the top 50. Just to show, we've talked about, like, we like a lot of these movies, and they're all the way down between 41 and 50.
In no particular order.
In no particular order. Dead Alive, another
Speaking
one.
Of
Peter Jackson.
Yeah.
Fright Night made both our lists.
Which one made both of our lists?
The original.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I didn't. I thought the Anton Yelchin one was good.
Yeah,
but it's
I like
not
it too.
Classic
right.
like that. That one was really hard to leave off. The Witch.
Yes.
Which this is another one where I think maybe if we make it next year, The Witch might make that top 50. I just feel like it might be a little fresh. And I don't know what it would replace, really. I mean, other than Hellraiser. But
I'm not sure that being fresh really stopped a movie from getting on there. I mean, we had...
Oh, I mean, there's still newer stuff
on
there. Yeah, but
there is.
I think this one maybe takes longer to sink in. I don't know that I worded that right. I feel like this is the kind of movie that in 5 years from now, more people will start seeing it.
Yeah.
And they'll realize...
You'll have a greater appreciation
yes,
for it.
Yes, yeah. So I think this one will age better than a lot. But yeah, those are just a few that made both our lists. If it was recognized by both of us, we tried to get it in the top 50 as much as we could. But there were some that snuck out, and I like all of those movies. So if you're waiting to see if Dead Alive makes top five,
it doesn't.
Stop listening.
Spoiler alert.
We'll see you in November, because no, it doesn't. But yeah, that was our first bonus list of the month. We'll do those throughout. Next week, we'll do 40 through 31.
I don't think they're going to have to wait till next
Not
week.
Not next week.
Yeah.
In a couple of days.
Yeah.
I got to readapt.
Yeah. If you're listening to these all at the end of the month, you can listen to it right now.
Yeah. So we'll do 40 through 31, and then we'll kick into five per episode. So excited for the rest of the month. Thank you for kicking off October with us. It's a little different than what we usually do, but I'm excited, and it's off to a fun start so far.
Absolutely. So we'll catch you back later this week, but until then,
keep it up.